We have the video, but I think after that presentation from Helen, I think it's relevant to answer that question that she's asking for. And also we need to talk about democracy and aid and what it's doing to the developing countries and what it's doing also here for northern countries. So I think it's good to all of us start to talk about these issues. We have talked about all the same principles of food sovereignty, and you can see that this is a really nice circle, a really nice yin and yang, has everything in there. It's a really alternative framework that we can work for. It has every element included in there. It's not just food security saying, oh, we are going to give food to people. God knows how they're going to get it. God knows what are they going to eat. If in 2 years, 3 years, they're going to start to have problems, health problems, if the whole planet is going to collapse. No, this alternative model, the food sovereignty that we are promoting, that we are working for, that we are living at the moment, is that, is what we are talking now. So I will appreciate all the comments, all the discussions they want to have now.
Roberto. Bueno, te vuelvo a decir, yo sé que tenemos muchas diferencias de nuestro país con el resto, pero...
I just want to say again that we have many differences with the rest of the world.
Pero realmente me doy cuenta de lo difícil que es tratar de lograr un sistema de comercialización que afecte los intereses de las grandes supermercados y las grandes compañías.
But I can see that it's a big challenge to try to intervene or act or intervene or affect the trade that is handled in big multinationals.
Pero creo que también hay otro elemento del que no se ha hablado que es importante, que es el comercio de los medios que hacen falta para hacer una agricultura sostenible sobre base agroecológica.
I think it's also important to point out that there is a trade or control of one of or other resources that are needed to do a sustainable agriculture.
Porque para nosotros una agricultura sostenible y agroecológica no es un problema de tecnología, es un problema de filosofía.
Because for us the sustainable agriculture and agroecology is not a technology problem, it's a philosophical problem.
Cada filosofía lleva una determinada organización social.
And each philosophy has its own social organization.
Por lo tanto, realmente hay que repensar el sistema de producción agraria si se quiere llegar a una agroecología.
That's why we need to rethink the model of the... Sorry, Roberto, perdí la cuenta, Roberto.
Y les diré, en Cuba, hace 2 años se aprobó en nuestra Asamblea Nacional un programa de agricultura periurbana.
Just with the last thought, what we were saying is that we need to rethink the way that we are doing things to be able to achieve that sustainable model that Roberto is talking about. And now he's saying that in Cuba they have one concept, which is the periurban agriculture.
Que se unió a un programa muy viejo que teníamos de agricultura urbana.
That it was linked to a program that was an old program that they have that was urban agriculture.
Eso significa que hoy el 80% de la comida que se produce en Cuba se produce en uno de estos dos programas, so agricultura urbana o periurbana.
That means that in Cuba 80% of the food produced comes from the periurban and the urban production of food.
Y estos programas aprobados por nuestra Asamblea Nacional establecen que hay que comercializar la producción en un radio no mayor de 4 kilómetros alrededor del lugar donde se produce.
And that means, or that's based on a policy that is established by, approved by the National Assembly that says that the produce that should be traded in no more, no beyond the 4 kilometers around where the food is produced.
En una relación lo más directa posible entre productor y consumidor.
Keeping or maintaining the direct relationship between producer and consumer.
Y a pesar de eso, nuestro sistema nacional de comercialización ha puesto obstáculos a que eso se pueda hacer.
And despite this, or even having this, Roberto, la última frase.
El organismo, la organización cubana que pertenece al Estado también, de acopio y distribución de la comida, está haciendo resistencia a que se haga de esta manera.
he's saying is that even this is a really good system, the storage and distribution system within Cuba, within the national system, are resisting that type of closeness between producers and consumers. Roberto, I'm going to leave you there because I know there are other people who want to contribute to the discussion. So I got the gentleman in the back.
I'm also really inspired by the trading lines from Tesco's for small shops and also retailing fields, and I see MST there here as well. So my question is, responding to national trust and others stopping a law to protect wild land and things like that, I'm basing my question on presumption here. England has historically abandoned land in comparison to France. France has well used its land and England has fallen away after the Second World War and is not using it so much. How much private land is out of use that could be used and can be targeted rather than going through land?
So we have how much land we have that we can use? I think some people say that.
The Land is Ours gathering, there is a group called the Land is Ours, and they are starting to sort of try to hack the system of the land registry, because at the moment it's very difficult to find out information about who owns what land. So there's a movement to try to actually open that up. But I read in the news recently that they're changing the way that the land registry is organised, and it's now a private run corporation. So it might actually get a little bit more difficult to find out this information. But we're on the case. The land is ours. Check it out.
Obrigado, e gostaria talvez de tentar, se me permite, o companheiro de Beto, na última projeção que estava dada, eu gostaria de ser um pouco mais ousado. Eu puxava a projeção de 2050 para 2020. A projeção que está dada para 2050.
It would actually, the projection that you have for 2015, it will
Talvez pode ser um global, mas se formos a casos pontuais, eu vou escolher de puxar. O companheiro, infelizmente, ele já saiu, ele esteve em Moçambique e ele produziu um relatório que até achei interessante. A questão é que isso seria feito em terras marginais.
The idea originally in Mozambique was to have the production of biofuel on land that are marginal.
E hoje está sendo feito em terras férteis, que são favoráveis para a produção agrícola, produção de alimentos.
And today they are being produced in arable lands that can be used.
E a procura de terra para biogás combustível em Moçambique está a crescer de uma forma exponencial.
And there's an exponential increase in looking for land for biofuel in agriculture in Moçambique.
E é uma violação sistemática da lei de terras.
And it's an violation of the land of the law of the land.
Isso está optado de maneira como modelo internacional de
Moçambique. And this is again in agreement with the
e relativamente à pergunta da Ellen, achei uma pergunta muito usada e interessante também. A diferença entre democracia e ajuda.
Then it's the question from the difference between the relationship between aid and democracy is very interesting.
Eu acho que tem uma camisa de força.
It's like a
strength. É tipo uma camisa de força, em que quando liberta, seria uma soberania militar. Quando liberta, você sente uma felicidade enorme, uma paz enorme, um desenvolvimento sustentável.
So, if it's like a straight jacket, if you you liberate from it, then you will have food sovereignty, you will feel a joy, and you will have a sustainable development.
Então essa junta para mim é uma pergunta, porque não vou participar na definição de onde deve ser, digamos, coordenado o orçamento na hora que estamos a fazer.
So, for him it's a straight jacket because we do not take part in decision making in which system we
have. É comum, está aqui a ajuda, mas entra por aqui. Você diz, não, quero entrar por aqui, não, entra por aqui. Ou quer ajuda ou não quer. Então, para mim parece ser uma pergunta de força.
It's like either you go this way or you go this way, but do you want help or do you want help? Mm-hmm. So this is where the straight leg is.
Okay. I think we've looked from all our different perspectives and the ways in which food sovereignty can help end global hunger, can help increase global democracy. And I think there's one other aspect which we should mention, which is the role that food sovereignty can have in actually confronting the problem of global warming. And when we look at the whole impact of the industrial food system, or everything from the seeds to the actual form of cultivation to the transport to the packaging, I mean, it's been calculated that the industrial food system is responsible for something like 50% of the greenhouse gases that are emitted. And the population has shown that if all arable land were to go back to the hands of people who are practicing agroecology, then in 50 years we could reabsorb the excess greenhouse gases that are in the atmosphere. So food sovereignty is a way of confronting so many of the sort of different problems that the world faces.
Thank you, Sue. I forgot to mention something that Sue Bradford is our writer of the report that we just presented today. Thank you for that. Now, go there.
Essa discussão da soberania alimentar, eu acho muito interessante que já foi colocado essa discussão do papel da terra.
He says that what he thinks is really interesting about food sovereignty is the role that the land has to actually help us to achieve that.
Ou seja, todo o alimento saudável deve ser produzido sobre a terra.
Because after all good food has to come from a good land.
O problema é que boa parte das terras elas estão sendo utilizadas em serviço do capital, ou seja, para produzir riquezas.
Yeah, but he says that the one big problem is that all the land, the great part of the land, is being used to actually produce commodities and not actually food.
No caso do Brasil. Existem milhões de hectares de terras mal utilizadas, em situações de degradação.
In the specific case of Brazil, we have thousands of acres of land that are being misused or that could be used for other purposes.
E por outro lado, estão sendo devastadas grandes áreas da região amazônica e do Cerrado brasileiro.
And instead of using this land to produce food, we're actually devastating our environment to produce even more commodities.
Para desenvolver a monocultura para exportação.
To develop the monoculture crops for exportation.
Isso não é só um problema do povo brasileiro.
Yeah, and what he thinks is interesting is that this is not just a Brazilian reality.
Que isso é o desmatamento da Mata Amazônica e do Cerrado é feito pelas empresas estrangeiras.
And that even though the territory of Amazonia is in Brazil, the devastation is actually made by international organizations and international companies.
Das corporações internacionais.
Yeah, international corporations.
E isso está trazendo sérios problemas para o meio ambiente, porque esse desmatamento é feito colocando fogo.
It's causing great environmental problems because normally they're done by putting fire on the native forests and environment.
Ou seja, são milhares de hectares de mata amazônica e de cerrado sendo queimados. Né?
So thousands of acres of land being just burned and cut down.
E Portanto, eu queria reforçar o papel da reforma agrária.
Say that I just want to reinforce the need of agrarian reform and actually making sure that people have access to land to produce food.
O objetivo da reforma agrária é exatamente combater esse modelo de exploração da agricultura capitalista.
And one of the main goals of agrarian reform is to fight against the current way of producing an international agenda can before the local and national needs of farmers.
E fazer com que a terra seja, cumpra sua função social produzindo alimentos.
And making sure that the land actually has its social function, which is actually produce food for people.
Portanto, quiser reforma agrária, em qualquer lugar do mundo, ela é de interesse do conjunto da sociedade.
So, agrarian reform is actually an interest of every single society in all over the world.
Thank you, Carlos. Ask a question? I'm interested in how far. How far the Brazilian Constitution, because as I understand it, the social function of land is protected by the Brazilian Constitution. And in terms of food sovereignty, that to me is a very interesting model, potentially, for other countries. So I know virtually nothing really in terms of if it's constitutionally protected, how far does that actually work in practice?
Isso é uma boa questão. A reforma agrária é uma bandeira histórica, uma reivindicação histórica da sociedade brasileira.
So it's a very good question, and that the agrarian reform is actually a very old cause in Brazil, something that they fight for a long time.
E todos os governos, os mais democráticos, autoritários, todos eles prometeram a realização da reforma agrária no Brasil.
Even after we, even during military government, and after that, when we were reestablished as a democracy, every single government actually promised them agrarian reform.
No entanto, ela não aconteceu ainda na prática.
Yeah, but in practice, it hadn't.
Ou seja, ao contrário, nós vivemos ultimamente um processo de concentração da terra.
On the contrary, we actually right now we are going back to the concentration of land by a few people.
This was
someone
wanted to ask something in the back.
Yes. Okay, so I just wanted to go back to the discussion. Sorry. Goodness, you can't hear me. That's very unusual. I just wanted to go back to the question that somebody raised in the last session about the trade unions, because I think it's a very important question. I thought some of what John said in his presentation was a useful response to that in terms of the situation of workers in the south. But I also think that increasingly for workers and unemployed workers in this country and in other so-called advanced countries, not so advanced in our terms, people are really suffering from the economic crisis and also seeing the system is less perfect than we were all brought up to expect it to be. So I think it's a very good moment to raise concepts like food sovereignty, which seem to me exactly, as Graciela said, make the yin-yang that in fact, people who farm, whether it's in the south or the north, and people who need to eat food, which is everybody on the planet, have in fact the same interests. And that trade unions can be an important part of that. And one of the things that I think trade unions in the north can learn from trade unions in the south is that to be an effective trade union, you don't only organise where people work, you have to organise where people live. So the model of community organising that particularly the South African trade unions have developed, again, is something that I, as a trade union activist in this country, am very keen to work on as part of taking that message, which I think can be an important ally in this vital struggle.
Thank you.
I was going to say more or less the same thing, so
I just wanted to just make a point. I observed Britain for those 18 years. I was born inside the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth Summit is going to happen end of October. John Hillary was speaking about most of the countries he mentioned as examples. They were Commonwealth nations, and I'm sure it extends to all the countries. Is there an all-party parliamentary group on land reform? I wonder. And I think there wouldn't be, because there are statues of people who stood against that, against land reform. So, I just want to point this out. You know, we can, to bring the thing back to foot sovereignty in UK and the Commonwealth, where it's done a lot of damage, which carries on unchecked. Like enclosure of the Commons is finished in UK, but it's going on everywhere. On the land itself, you know. So agroecology, climate change, they're all like deviations really if we don't address land reform in UK. And one of the leaders from the Somerset Food Group, it gives a figure, 1%, 170% in UK. And John didn't mention Malawi produces most of the food for all the supermarkets in UK. I think 80% of the food produced in Malawi comes to UK. Well, it's not the UK, to EU, you know? So these are issues that we should really look at to bring the conversation back into food sovereignty. And I'd like to again say the Foreign and Commonwealth Office should be included in the all-party parliamentary group on land reform. Then I understand that somebody speaking MP on agroecology, it's deviating. Maybe we can put it across to him that Britain needs land reform, number one.
Thank you.
Oh, I was just prompted by the lady's comments there that maybe one can make an ally. I think you're referring to the trade unions.
Yeah.
It does occur to me that in the present context, what we are talking about here is a revolution of a particular style of capitalism. And I wonder whether there's any common ground with these demonstrations, with the drive and the thinking behind the demonstrations that are taking place arising from the Occupy Wall Street and then spreading, and Spain, where the fundamental driver appears to be a sense of inequality and social injustice. And I think if one can capture that perspective on the way the world is currently organized and get some of that energy focusing also on the food issues, there's a possible driver there to produce the level of change that one's looking for, because it is absolutely enormous when you consider the grip that industrial thinking has on the world agricultural scene.
Thank you for that. It's really important that the revolution that happened in other countries, in Eastern countries, it comes from the food, the problems with food, people accessing food. Let's remember that. And let's remember that here, we can do the same. From the lady.
Translated into change in the international background of food security, and we can kind of think about the language of food security as a smokescreen for the perpetuation of this status quo of hunger. For example, food security has been kind of addressed through the umbrella of human security, and there's language such as justice and the criminalisation of hunger within that, but it's sort of serving to perpetuate the system. I guess I was just sort of thinking about confluence of language, if we're thinking about food as a human right, and maybe if someone can comment more about the on the analytical model that's been used for food sovereignty in relation to human rights. I'm just wondering about the model, the food sovereignty analytical model. And thinking about that in terms of the confluence of language with food security. And there's a sort of a rights-based language in food security that's used, but it's been largely ineffective.